The Senate Committee on Business and Transportation for Thursday, January 22nd. Colleagues, we have Senator Schrader from Washington, D.C., who is watching and listening in and communicating with us. And as you can see, Senator Schrader, we have Senator Starr and Senator George here, so we are certainly have our quorum. And we're going to have public hearings on three bills today. We will not move these bills today. We're going to first hear why they're here and get some information, and then we will be bringing them back based on, at least partially, on our hearing today. So with that, let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 83. Mr. Stembridge, you want to give us a brief overview of the bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 83 exempts the state lottery game devices from the federal law prohibiting transport of gambling devices. I think we made a copy of the federal law there for you, and it does say that it prohibits the transport of gambling devices unless there is a state law exempting those devices. So,
okay. So with that, Mr. Penn from the Oregon State Lottery, please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dale Penn. I'm director for the Oregon Lottery. This is a bill that we bring forward today. It's a pretty simple bill, and yet I think very important. I've lived my life in courtrooms, and I know it's better to stay out of court if at all possible. And as we were examining, just we go through and examine our rules, but we're also looking at the statute. This statute, as well as 461.217, 461.215, were added when video poker began in the early 1990s. And at that time, clearly you would need to exempt the video lottery terminals from the application of this federal law, so it would not be illegal to transport them around in the course of the business of the lottery. Very good idea. However, we examined and we had DOJ look at the federal definitions. And as you can see, the federal definition is very, very broad. Not only does it include gambling devices, any so-called slot machine, but then any other machine or mechanical device. And our advisor in the Department of Justice said, you know, to be safe, someone could say that your Keno equipment, your ticket equipment, all of the equipment that lottery uses would violate this statute. And so it would be wise to bring it to the legislature, broaden this so that it's more than just video lottery terminals, but any gaming device authorized by the lottery, so that no one comes into problem with this statute and it's not a federal taxation issue as well. So that's the primary reason for bringing this forward. Pretty simple. I don't know of anyone opposed to it. It really just brings forward the intent originally with this, just the federal definition was much broader than the state definition or statute. Then the other thing that we do is we noted that in several sections of the lottery law, there were two slightly different titles for video lottery device. And so, again, we don't want to create a legal issue there. Clearly, this is set up to talk about one kind of game equipment, and so we just amended this to use the same term, and there's really only one place where it needed to be changed, but video lottery game terminal is the actual term used, and you can see it in ORS 461.217 in several places. It's mentioned, but then in sub 4, for some reason, the word game was left out of that description. So we just wanted to use the same term so that someplace in the future a judge doesn't need to read this and say, was the legislature intending something different here by using a different term? We think it was just an oversight situation. So those are the reasons for the bill. I characterize it as more of a housekeeping measure. Certainly that's your decision, but I think this is consistent with present law, present activity, and the intent of the legislature back in the 1990s when this was passed. So,
thank you, Mr. Penn. Are there any questions by the committee?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Mr. Ryan, has there been any I understand what you're saying about trying to make things crystal clear and also making sure you're consistent with federal law, just in case, from your background, you know, courts can, you know, be used for all kinds of things. Have you had anybody challenge or threaten to challenge any of this based on the language?
Mr. Chair, no. This was just as we were reviewing this, Department of Justice brought this argument forward and said the safe measure is to bring it back to the legislature, get it clarified, okay, so that you don't have to find yourself in court.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 83? Okay. So I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 83. We'll bring that back shortly in case anybody else develops any questions in the meantime. And but thank you for taking the time to come today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members.
Mr. Chairman, I would point out that technically speaking on Senate Bill 83, you would not be able to go ahead anyway because you don't have a fiscal statement on that yet, or a statement of no fiscal.
Okay.
So you're being consistent with your rules right away on the first bill.
That's true.
Thank you.
Thank you. Open up public hearing on Senate Bill 88. Mr. Stenberg, you want to tell us what that's all about? Or to the best of your ability.
Senate Bill 88 increases the license renewal and per customer fees for non-retail fuel facilities. These are known as card lock facilities. Some of the fee increases begin July 1st, 2009. It restates current statute reducing the minimum purchase requirement by non-retailer customers from 2,400 to 900 gallons of fuel annually. It also declares an emergency effective upon passage.
Okay. I have Anita Phillips, Donna Dish from the State Fire Marshal.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Anita Phillips. I'm the licensing manager at the Office of State Fire Marshal, and with me is Donna Dish, our senior policy analyst. I'll try to be brief, but there are a couple things I'd like to point out to you. Yes, this is a fee increase. We have worked with our Card Lock Advisory Committee, and as far as the fee increases go, we had agreed to make these incremental increases rather than one larger increase, and they support that. At the current time, we do expect almost $47,000 deficit at the end of this current biennium. And on the information we provided to you, if we don't have any fee increases, that deficit will rise to 650-some thousand at the end of the 11-13 biennium. And we also wanted to point out to you what would happen if the fee increases are passed. We, again, will be starting with almost a $47,000 deficit. But at the end of the 11-13 biennium, we would have approximately a $74,000 ending balance. One thing that I'd like you to know is since the inception of the Card Lock program in 1992, the customer fees have remained at $5, and also the licensing fees have remained at $250 per facility. So this is the first fee increase ever that we've asked for since the program was created. We did suffer a budget shortfall in 2001, and we took steps to eliminate staff positions and really cut wherever we could. At this point in time, there aren't any other place that we can cut without losing the effectiveness of the program. And also, I wanted to let you know what the card lock funds are used for. They're used for statewide inspections of all the card lock facilities in the state to ensure the safety of the card lock users. We also audit card lock companies to make sure that all their customers comply with the statutes that they need to meet to be a card lock customer. And also, I wanted to tell you of something that we tried as far as options of making the program work with the money that we had. Back in 2003, we tried a self-inspection program for the card lock facilities And basically what we did was we mailed out the forms that were showed all the elements that they have to meet for fire codes and statutes and rules. And what we found out upon follow-up was that some of the inspection sheets were marked that they were in compliance when, in fact, some of them were not. So as a result of finding that information out, we've just continued doing that. And the alternative, if we don't raise fees, basically what we would have to do is fewer inspections or, in some cases, none at all. This is a statewide program, so we travel across the entire state. And again, the last point that I'd like to make, too, is this would mean if we reduce our services, this would impact the users of the facilities, and we want to make sure that we keep them safe for those people. Again, to reiterate, we have worked with the members of the card lock industry, and they are in support of this fee increase. They understand that we've done everything that we could for the last 18 or so years to not have to raise fees, but they know now that it's time that we have to do that. We would like to continue providing the services and assistance to the card lock industry, and we request your support for Senate Bill 88. And if you have any questions, be happy to answer them.
Do you have anything to say, or are you there for moral support?
I can say something.
Well, don't feel obligated, but I was wondering. You're there, so.
Well, Chair Metzger and members of the committee, I do want to emphasize.
Your name for the record, please.
For the record, my name is Donna Dish, and I'm the policy analyst for the Office of State Fire Marshal Division of Oregon State Police. And along with encouraging your support, I want to ensure you that, number one, we are very collaborative as we develop these, and number two, our biggest focus is the life safety issues that this kind of program promotes. And just let you know that.
Okay. So then Mr. Stenbridge had this comment. I wanted to ask, because I'm a little confused about it myself. In Section 4?
Yes.
According to the way the bill is printed, it deletes in paragraph 2,400 gallons and puts in 900 gallons. We did this bill a number of years ago and put in 900 gallons. And as we are reading the current version of ORS, it says 900 gallons. So I'm confused why this says 2,400 when the current law says 900, and where did this somehow appear again, because it does not appear to be current law that what you want is current law. Can you explain that?
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, I will certainly try. I know this is a really complicated issue. Basically, what happened back in 2001, the gallon requirement, purchase requirement was changed from 2,400 gallons a year to 900 gallons. What the legislature, and this was, of course, to help the small businesses so they could utilize these facilities. What happened was they expected that there could be a challenge to this, a lawsuit. So what they did in the chapter in 2001 was they added the 2,400-gallon purchase requirement back in so that if this were challenged and they lost, then it would revert back to the old language. Now, if you look at the statutes right now as they are, you will not find that additional piece in there. It'll just say 900 gallons. But this is kind of a cleanup where it is still in the chapters back there, so it's kind of hanging out there in case there's a lawsuit or something. But it's been 7 years, and we don't anticipate that there's going to be any challenge to this. So we wanted to remove that just to clean it up a little bit.
Okay. Well, I understand that, and that issue is not a problem before me, because I remember we did the 900 to help small. I've never seen anything that had old language in it saying we need to correct it when the current language. I'll have to talk to the drafter of this to maybe, you know, help explain to me. You say it's buried somewhere, but I don't see it even in the ORS where it's buried in here. But I'll take your word for it, but I want to talk to legislative council just so I can understand why we're enacting what the ORS says we already have. That's just a technical thing. Do we have questions from the committee? Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the fiscal analysis, and it appears that just the increase alone is, and in your written testimony, the difference. Let's look at your written testimony. In the 11-13 biennium, it looks like there's a differential of $725,000. And it kind of struck me, does that seem like a lot of money?
I'm looking at this. I think he's looking at this.
Oh.
Yeah, this one here. Sorry. That seemed like a lot of money for the whole program. I mean, I guess I'm a little shocked at the size of the program as far as the numbers of inspectors it would take to look at card lock. What is the total budget for this entire program at the card lock facility, and what is the cost drivers so that we, within two bienniums, have to come up with an additional $700,000? I mean, what do we see in the next 24 months or that's going to put us in a situation that by the time we get to the next biennium, we're going to need to come up with an additional $700,000? Or am I reading this wrong?
You're saying it's on our testimony?
Well, and when I look at this sheet here, and I guess I can hold the camera here, but and maybe I'm just reading this wrong, but here's what you project without the fee increase, and it's a negative $652,000, and the cash balance at the end of the biennium with the fee increase is $75,000. So with a difference on that, it seems like there's about a $700,000 difference, $725,000 difference between that, which means, in essence, the fee is going to create somewhere between what this analysis says here and yours is between $400,000 and $700,000. And I guess I'm trying to figure out what are the cost drivers in 24 months that makes this program go up that much money versus where we are today, and how big is this total budget?
Chair Metzger and Senator George, I can address just some of the operating costs. We have been operating at a deficit on this program, and as you can see, all the negative balances of the cash balance at the end of the biennium on the top part there. And so we have not been addressing our regular costs. Anita, I need to defer to you for the size of the budget, and we have Colin Nealand here, who is our budget analyst as well, and he can help address this as well.
Mr. Nealand, why don't we, since I like those words, budget analyst, it seems to fit with what we're talking about. Yes. Maybe you can help with that question. Sure. That Senator George had.
And Chair Metzger, Senator George, for the record, my name is Colin Nealand. I'm the budget manager for the Oregon State Police, of which the State Fire Marshal program is one of our divisions. We don't have the details to directly answer your question. We can get that for you and get that information. Some of the general answers to your question would be that there are administrative costs that are included in these increases that are going to go up every two-year cycle. And those are going to be running the course from everything from the transfers that the State Fire Marshal program has, both for administrative costs at State Police, but also for the administrative costs that we have related to state government service charges, personnel services, standard inflation for any services and supplies. And all of those costs, when you start aggregating up that total, will get you up to part of this, that total that we need the revenue increase for. And the other is just to address the ending, you know, where we're currently projecting to make up any cash shortfall that we have, and then to create a sufficient working capital balance of about 90 days for the program going forward. We can definitely get those details to you, as soon as possible to answer any specific questions that you may have.
Oh, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. I would appreciate that. So what I'd like to know is the number of FTEs we have working specifically on this program, the total budget we have, travel expenses, all those things broken out. And then my next question is that what's the thought process about raising the per customer fee versus per facility fee? I mean, is it a sliding scale for some reason, like some facilities have more members who have card locks, or what's that process? Because it seems like to me the fee on the number of customers is... It seems to be a little bit redundant because you're inspecting the facility, not necessarily the number of customers that use it. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. And where Chair Metzger, Senator George, where I was not directly communicating with the stakeholders of this program, I'll defer that question to Anita Phillips, where I think she can better answer the detail of that question for you.
Chair Metzger, Senator George, these fees were originally established on a per-customer fee, and basically what we do with that is we inspect all of the card lock operators, and we inspect their customer records to make sure that their customers meet the requirements to be there. This is the dedicated funding that was established with the bill that basically said it's going to cost you probably $250 to go out, travel time, and inspect these facilities statewide. And then to support the program, it was established as a customer fee of $5 per customer. So each operator does report to us each year how many customers they have on their system, and basically that is the main source of revenue for the program. But we do inspect a certain amount of CardLock customer records, so we are checking each one to make sure that they have all the requirements, such as proof of business, they purchase the 900 gallons of fuel, that they've signed an agreement, and that they've received safety training before, or instructions on how to use the CardLock facilities before they go out and dispense gas.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, I would just ask that the information that he would provide would be provided to all the members of the committee, please.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Does anybody else want to testify today on Senate Bill 88? A hand in the back of the room. I thought you might. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Metzger, members of the committee. My name is Danelle Romaine. My father and I are the co-executive directors of the Oregon Petroleum Association. We represent all of the CardLock, most of the CardLock facilities in the state. And we are currently neutral on the bill. We just wanted to say that we are polling our members to see how they feel. This fee hasn't been raised for a number of years, and we're as difficult it is for our members to add any new fee or cost of business to their companies. They want to be reasonable about this, and they're considering it. So we just wanted to let you know that we will get back to you with the data, but we're keeping an open mind.
Okay, and one thing I would ask, too, is that just for sake of parameters, I would like to hear from both of you for the information requested, and from any more enlightenment on the members within a two-week period, just to give you some parameters when we would have a chance to maybe close a loop on this one way or another. Senator George, you had a question?
Yeah, actually, if I get from you and also those who previously testified, can I get some kind of parameters of how often we're not only seeing violations but actually seeing incidences of problems at these sites? I mean, I know I have a company that subscribes to CardLock, and mm-hmm. it seems to be very incredibly safe, and I was just wondering if there's incidences going on at those locations, or if there's maybe some industry feedback of what we're seeing with the current regulatory structure. Would be great for me.
Sure.
Just get some depth of session. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay. Anybody else want to testify today on Senate Bill 88? Okay, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 88 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 91. We'll get Anita and Donna back up along with Lana Butterfield and ask Mr. Stembridge to give us an overview, please, sir.
Senate Bill 91 increases the fees charged by the State Fire Marshal's Liquefied Petroleum Gas, we abbreviate it as LPG, License and Inspection Program, and makes a second increase effective July 1st, 2011. It authorizes the transfer of gas fitter licenses and gas truck equipment licenses.
Thank you. Welcome again. It's been so long.
Thank you.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, for the record again, my name is Anita Phillips. I'm the licensing manager for the State Fire Marshal's Office. And again, with me is Donna Dish, our senior program analyst, policy analyst, I'm sorry. I will try to be a little bit briefer on this one than I was on the last one. And Lana, Ms. Butterfield can actually hit on some points, too, where we have done some compromise on these requested fees. As you can see on your testimony, it does detail out that we're doing some incremental fee increases, just as we did with our other program. We have worked with the advisory committee. We want to make sure that we're able to continue to provide the services that we are providing right now, and this will keep us from having an inadequate cash balance in the 9/11 biennium. And I won't go through all of the fee increases. You have them in front of you. But again, I wanted you to see where we're at as far as the budget projections in 2011-13. If we don't raise the fees now, we will have an approximate $317,000 budget deficit. We have been doing these inspections since the 1950s, and our last fee increase was in 2003. We did have the support of the industry on that again, and basically what we want to do is when we're inspecting tanks for residents who use propane as their heating source, we want to make sure that the installers are installing the tanks correctly according to code and as safely as possible. So we feel that this is a very important program to allow the safety of the industry we regulate, the citizens, and Oregon's first responders. Leaks discovered during inspections save users money. Any other thing that could be installed incorrectly could be disastrous. And basically then what we did at the end was to show you, give you the figures as to where we're going to be at the end of 2013 biennium, which would be $337,000. And we again asked for your support on this fee increase. It is for dedicated funding as well. And we also would like to acknowledge the LPG industry's support for this and being very, very good to work with in coming up with these fee increases. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
I think we'll wait to see who else wants to testify, and then we'll talk.
Okay.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, it's nice to see you again. Today I'm here representing the Northwest Propane Gas Association. My name is Lana Butterfield. It's not always fun to have your fees raised, you know, and I work for a pretty hard-nosed group of guys who have sharp pencils, and they don't just take these things for granted, and we have had several meetings with the Fire Marshal's office and looked at what fees they were proposing. We did ask that they be spread a little differently so that they were taken at the company level rather than at the individual inspection level, so that it really appears, you know, more at the company level than at the customer level. And they were willing to work with us on that. And so this is really a compromise bill that we are able to support. Because we know that this particular regulatory structure works very well in Oregon for our industry. We've been served, as Anita said, we've been served, we've been working with this agency for over 50 years. And they help us to be safe. They also help us to be a level playing field in what is a very competitive industry. And I have to say that Senator George probably uses propane more than anybody else in the Senate. So you know, if you have any questions, probably ask him about propane. He probably knows.
I think he's out changing his tank.
So that's all I have. I've given you, again, some, rather than bringing a bunch of paper, I put some links on our sheet for you.
Okay. I'm going to go to Senator Starr in a moment. I have one question, though. In the staff's summary, you mentioned that in the last full year it's available that in your spot checks that 55% of the installations were in violation of fire code. Now, I know that that could be someone forgot to put a comma on something and this inspector always made a note of that and therefore it's a violation, or it could be serious or whatever. Could you give me some, I mean, that's because the number as a percentage without knowing the details sounds like people don't know how to install, you know, their propane gas tank, but it could be just, you know, things that are clerical and not really safety related. Give me an idea of the scope of violations that are that you would consider significant that, you know, you discover, you know, it gives me some idea of the efficacy of why we need to make sure that things are installed correctly. Is this representative of serious stuff that it's glad that we're there inspecting them, or, you know, more paperwork errors?
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, I believe the bulk of the violations that we find are probably leaks, which the way they're installed, they're probably not going to cause an explosion. It's going to be basically a cost to the consumer because they're losing fuel. And also, I just want to point out that the requirements in the fire codes are very strict that we use. And I think the other, so that number can be a little interpreted as being that the companies aren't really actually doing their work. But a lot of these actually are going to be minor violations. But we're out there and we're working with them, and over time, these have been completed, and we've done some education with the companies and let them know what they need to do. Another thing that comes to mind as far as a deficiency, there are a couple companies where you need to have the propane tank set on an adequate foundation so that it won't move or do anything with the connections. And we found, well, there's a little cutting of corners there. And, again, we've worked with the industry to say, you know, these are actually the requirements that you need to do. Let's make sure that they're done right and as safe as possible.
Okay. Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a bit taken back by the size of these increases. It seems to me that that there's something going on here that's not evident on its face, I guess. Do you plan to exponentially expand the inspections with these fee increases? It looks like, again, in the staff measure summary that Mr. Stenbridge provided us, you only inspect 17% of new residential propane tank installations. Are you going to increase that to a much greater percentage? I need a lot more information before I'm going to vote for a 200%+ increase in fees of any kind. That just seems like an astronomical number to me. So can you give me a little more, fill out the story a little bit more? I mean, do you have to carry forward a $200,000 ending fund balance? Is that, you know, more information, I guess, is what I need.
I'd like to call Colin back up. Oh, again, Chair Metzger and members of the committee, Donna Dish, Senior Policy Analyst for the Oregon State Fire Marshal. I'd like to have Colin come back up, but I do want to point out that the fee on the very bottom of that page, the reinspection, is actually a penalty. And I think it's important to note that that is not a regular fee that's charged. That piece is a penalty piece. And I think that it's important to say that. The other piece that I should mention is that we did do this collaboratively, and it's not all happening at one time. This is being rolled out in a couple of steps. And I think at this point I'll go ahead and defer the rest of the answer to Colin.
Hello. Chair Metzger, Vice Chair, Senator Starr. To answer your question, I think you're asking in response to the detailed sort of questions that I think you would like a response to. We'll go back and we'll get that detailed information. Unfortunately, we don't have that with us today, but we'll go back and we'll respond and get that information back to the full committee. If that's what, you know, if you'd like it given to the full committee, we can definitely do that and provide you the assumptions and the analysis that was done to determine what fee increases were needed and how those determinations were made, so that you'll have that information available for you when you're being asked to vote one way or another for this fee increase.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Senator Berger.
Yes, Ed, when you bring your numbers back, rather than 55%, I don't know what that is, 55% of what number? I mean, of how many? It could be 55% of 20, 55% of 2,000. So I need to know that.
Okay. And one thing I might say, too, is as you provide this information, you know, feel free to, you know, talk to any of the members who might have more in depth before we come back to committee, and because I'll certainly be talking to them and making sure that they have the information they need, and at that point, then we'll bring the bill back. How's that?
All right.
Okay. Is there anybody else who'd like to testify on Measure 691 today? Okay, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 91. Jim, would you remind us about what we currently have next week in terms of a schedule?
We have scheduled only through Monday. We have three bills that were presented from the Bureau of Labor and Industries. We've tried to schedule transportation measures for Thursday so as not to conflict with the committee meeting that's going on at this time on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays on the House side. That's what we have so far.
Okay, and then Senator Starr and I'll be waiting on Tuesday, and we'll and at that point we'll be able to start planning our bill schedule a couple of weeks in advance. As you know, they're still trickling in, and so right now we're just trying to hear what we can before we do that. But I will hope that within a week, week and a half, all the members will have at least a two-week window of what we're kind of looking at, so you can have time to see, okay, what bills I really need to start looking at. So,
do you anticipate we'll have a committee on Wednesday then?
At this stage, yeah, okay. I do. But we'll know for sure before 1 o'clock on Monday. Okay, is there any other thing before the committee? Senator Schrader, we got you out early. I know it's getting close to dinner time in D.C.
I'll be back on Saturday and ready to work with all of you next week in person.
Okay.
Other than the disembodied voice.
There you go. Okay, with that, we're adjourned.